dying of laughter.
It's not funny.
My mom has stage 4 cancer in her bones and in her breast. My dad's disease was 15 years, he died of ALS. I made a podcast about death, seemed like the thing to do. And if you're sad by all this,
well,
you're gonna die too.
Hey everyone, I hope people are staying safe and sane, as everyone tends to be saying. I've been reading a lot of interesting articles about productivity and how to combat your anxiety, but I also felt inspired by some of the articles specifically around loss. I love Modern Love, the articles and the podcasts where celebrities read famous essays aloud, so I thought I'd take a page from their online book. Although I'm not a celebrity and these essays aren't famous, but they're still extremely profound and well circulated. So today we'll start with Young Widowhood in the Time of Corona. While we're all in this together, my experience is very much my own, how I am learning to navigate the space between personal and collective grief, by Mira Simone Etlin-Stein. I found this on the Modern Loss Instagram. It's an amazing account. They have a book out, so let's jump in. If this feels something like you can relate to, I hope you enjoy it. 2019 was the worst year of my life. It began innocently enough. My partner Brian had started feeling flu-like a few days before, and we'd canceled our New Year's gathering. He'd been in bed most of the evening, and just before midnight, I crawled in beside him. Our 2-year-old daughter lay quietly sleeping in the room beside us. I reached out and hugged him. "Happy New Year, honey," I said. The moment was peaceful and loving and achingly normal, but I was standing on the precipice of an enormous shift in the trajectory of my life. Everything I'd built, everything I believed to be solid and true, was about to come crashing down around me. I had no idea. As the next few weeks went on, what we thought was a flu would linger, become mysteriously worse and worse. In early February, we would discover that Brian had stage 4 melanoma everywhere. No one would tell us the truth, so we would spend the next 5 weeks painfully traveling back and forth to medical appointments before he would be hospitalized. No treatments would make a difference. 10 days after that, less than 7 weeks after his diagnosis, I'd be lying my head on his empty chest. His essence and his soul, his laugh and his smile had physically vanished, along with my life and my future as I knew it. I would feel entirely alone. I would wonder how I would continue to live. But somehow, I would. I would welcome 2020, 9 months later, sitting across a quiet table from Brian's mother. We'd hug and let 2019 go, hoping, tentatively, that 2020 might be better. I'd wake up the next morning and realize that Brian was still dead. My life was still a shadow of its previous self. And now, enter coronavirus, a worldwide pandemic that somehow simultaneously reminds us how connected we all are, while also highlighting the disparity between us and the privilege among us. Coronavirus forces us each to notice who is in our inner ring and who is missing. No one is immune to the loss brought about by the virus. We're all trying to adapt to our new normal, and many of our lives have been challenged or changed. And yet it is painfully obvious that social distancing and global collective grief play out in radically different ways for all of us. As a young only parent and widow, it feels like I have already been living in survival mode for much of the past year. I have slowly learned to rely on some help from others. I've given up control and followed my intuition. I've let go of the expectations, hopes, and dreams of my previous life. I've started to create space for new dreams to grow, for a new life to emerge. And now, a pandemic has been added into the mix, and suddenly the balance has shifted yet again, and this time on a global scale. We have been told to only hold close our very closest, and for me, my very closest is still dead. Coronavirus forces us each to notice who is in our inner ring and who is missing. Meanwhile, seemingly overnight, words like grief and loss are becoming communal and commonplace. And as someone who has been sitting alone with these words for the past year, I'm left confused and disoriented. How do I manage my own grief amid a planet going through massive collective grief? How does my personal grief not get drowned out in the cries for support and care around me? When Brian died, it felt like I became an alien. I couldn't relate to anyone's problems or issues. I didn't feel like I belonged anywhere. And today, while we're all in this together, I am still very much alone. My story is not reflected in mainstream media. Within coronavirus, I am still an alien. And this is one of the biggest differences between personal and collective global grief. It isn't fair that Brian died. There are words that I've repeated over and over again this past year. And within a worldwide pandemic, it still isn't fair. But this is happening now. Right on the heels of a full year that I've spent carefully examining grief from every angle I could think of, I have practiced opening my heart to the pain and the uncertainty of grief and have been surprised over and over again to find that it is love. Within this new pandemic world, I face a myriad of feelings seemingly contradictory but somehow perfectly connected. In one moment, I worry I might buckle and break under any more stress and hardship, as if I have no resources left at all. And then in the next, I feel an inner, quiet, knowing strength, as if losing Brian and continually processing his death has given me some superhuman strength and resilience. Right now, we, humanity, are in a hard part of the process. We don't know how bad things might get, how long this will last, or what life will look like on the other side. We don't know if we possess the strength to tackle whatever is to come. I know these feelings well. Coronavirus has already brought great loss, and it will bring more. It is more complicated than only the loss of life. It is the loss of plans, of ways of being, of touch, of social interaction. It is changes to what community looks like, to the way we congregate, changes to the life we thought our children would both have today and tomorrow. It is affecting all of us, and we all feel alone. And that is an integral part of the grieving process. But all endings, even the unbearably hard ones, are also innately new beginnings. This much I have learned this past year. This is a great pause. Grief often is. As we stop to look around, as we look within, we may find that we see more clearly. There's an opportunity to reset old ways of being if we choose to do so, in both small and larger ways. And also, this is hard. This is different and unknown and scary. It is disproportionately unfair for some. Life in general is disproportionately unfair for some. Every day, I wake up in the home that Brian and I built together. Our daughter runs in and smiles at me. She gives me a hug, just as Brian always did. I make breakfast in the kitchen, where he cooked me some of the best meals of my life. I listen to music, and I watch our daughter play. I've become accustomed to this new, raw combination of pain and joy, sadness and gratitude, grief and love. All my emotions, all my experiences, carry a depth that I couldn't feel before. I love life more because I have felt loss and pain. This is the tragically beautiful gift of grief. And now grief has reached out her arms and welcomed all of us. We suddenly see clearly and with new eyes how beautiful and sacred it is to hug a friend, brush up against a stranger, feel the energy of a group, move around freely in our communities. I've recently started calling our bed my bed. As I was making it this morning, I carefully folded my beautiful quilt sewn from Brian's old clothing. And just like that, for a split second, my world fell apart once more. I paused and stared at it, willing myself to process and accept yet again that he is gone. My phone buzzes. My daughter calls me from down the hall. She needs me. Others will need me. We all need each other now. It isn't fair, but it is what it is, and I think that we are up for the challenge. Thank you to Mira Simone at Lynn Stein. She's a writer living in Toronto, and much of her writing on grief can be found on her Instagram, which is at New Moon Mira. That's spelled like New Moon, and Mira is M-I-R-A. I hope anyone who is grieving or a young widow in the time of the coronavirus found this helpful. If you enjoyed it, please consider sharing it to a friend. It is much appreciated. And if there's certain kinds of stories, whether that be on loss or something else related to grief or illness or another kind of death, please don't be afraid to let me know. You can always email me at dyingoflaughterpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's dyingoflaughterpodcast@gmail.com. Have a good day as much as you can. See you next week.